Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Wayne Simeon, Shandon Anderson, Joey Devine, Michael Doliak, Darrell Wright, Sean Keane, Earl the Pearl Baron, Jason Capono, Patreons, Bridget Willard, thank you Bridget, Russell Rusty Mahogian, thank you Rusty, Christine D'Amato, thank you Christine, musical guest Gloria Estefan and the Miami Sound Machine, and now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast, and we are back with a finals preview. I'm here, as always, with America's Uncle Dad, your friend and mine, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. I'm doing okay. Yeah.
Good.
Today, my dog came back today, so I'm in.
Where was your dog?
She just went with my girlfriend to her mom's house. Mm.
I should say, off the top, we do have to talk about something that's been in the news about us. It is true that, yes, Taylor Swift's boyfriend was on this podcast 7 years ago. And yes, he did do a Ching Chong Asian voice. But no, we do not think you should be mad at Taylor Swift for that.
No, it's not her fault.
You should also not be mad at us for it.
I mean, definitely don't be mad at us.
You should also... I also think you should be mad at the guy. The guy who did the racist voice. And his name is Nick Mullen. No, it's a friend of a friend of the show. Just kidding, Nick. He's never going to hear this. All right.
He doesn't care. He's uncancelable. No,
the other thing I will say is stop calling that guy's band a rock band. That is not rock music. I don't know what it is, but it's not rock music. Anyway, all right. Sean, some business off the top. Round Rock Pod on Twitter, at Round Rock Pod on Twitter, roundrockpod@gmail.com. If you'd like to email us, call us on the phone at the number in the description. Buy our t-shirts. Patreon.com/roundrockpod is where you can hear Sean review Shaquille O'Neal's things and other stuff that we just do all the time.
I will be talking about Shaq and Kareem soon.
I know. I still have not watched that. The reason that episode has not come out is Sean asked me to watch 30 minutes of television, and I have not gotten around to doing it.
I'm gonna tell you a little. Just can I give you a little spoiler?
Yeah, of course.
There's some filler.
Yeah, I imagine.
In that 22 and a half minutes or whatever it is.
Sean, when are you going to go to Big Chicken?
Wait, where is Big Chicken located?
I mean, there's a bunch of them. I think there's one in Las Vegas. Let's see.
Well, I guess in Summer League, possibly. if there's one in New Orleans, I'm going to New Orleans in 2 weeks. So maybe if
well,
if
there is Big one Chicken in Los Angeles in Glendale.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. I guess. Yeah, I will have to review that.
That'll be a fun Shaquille O'Neal's restaurant. There's one at Arizona State. There's one in Gilbert, Arizona. There's one in Valencia, really California. There's one in North Hollywood.
I feel like learning that it's near Arizona State and Magic Mountain seems completely correct.
There's one at the Hollywood Casino in North Baton Rouge, Louisiana. There's one in Rosemont, Illinois. There is one at the CFG Bank Arena in Baltimore. There's one at the UBS Arena in Elmont, New York. And there's one in Las Vegas on Paradise Road.
Oh, yeah. Well,
oh, there's two. There's also one at the Tropicana in Las Vegas. There's several in Austin, Texas.
Should we eat at Big Chicken before the traditional round ball meetup?
I guess we'll have to talk about the round ball meetup.
We're not
off
really
the air.
Sure that the millionaire matchmaker slot machine has survived necessarily.
I'm sure it's still there. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to go to Summer League, but we'll talk to that talk to Sean off air about that. and we will announce that later. Sean,
thing that's going to be at that Baltimore arena is Stars on Ice featuring Olympic champion Nathan Chen. Mm-hmm. Also on July 1st, you can check out LL Cool J, the FORCE live. I guess that's a tour with The Roots, DJ Jazzy Jeff, DJ Z Trip. I don't know about him, but he is billed higher than Queen Latifah, Salt and Pepa, Big Boy, Bone Thugs and Harmony, Common, De La Soul, and Ice-T.
That sounds like an awesome concert.
Actually, that's great. Yeah, Method Man's there. Rick Ross?
Well, I don't want to go. Rick Ross shouldn't be. Yeah, I don't.
MC Light.
Yeah, that's great.
The Goody Mob. Wow.
Wow.
Common's just gonna do spoken word stuff, I believe.
He's just gonna talk about AI. and drones. Wait, it's drones that he talks about in that Microsoft commercial? Anyway, Sean, speaking of reader mails, we have kind of a lot, actually. Let's do some mail first.
This is Round Ball Rock Reader Mail. Communications from listeners. Why do we call it Reader Mail? It is confusing for robots.
All right, Sean, we got an email from our friend Mark Langford.
Fantastic.
He asks, GM job / nepotism. Hi, guys. This is Mark from NorCal, friend / fan of the podcast. He's an actual friend. We know him in person. Hearing today, after the Bob Myers exit, that Lacob has two kids in the decision-making board? Question mark? And might promote one to GM? Second question mark? Wondering if you guys know any other stories of NBA nepotism promotions and what effect it may have had on the team's success.
Oh, boy.
Thanks, Mark. Well, I think the Warriors will be in the clear as long as one of the Lacobs doesn't marry Jay Moore.
Yeah, that's a good thing to know. I will say the thing that I'm most worried about, concerned about, unhappy about, is the fact that Joe Lacob's sons are named Kirk and Kent.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't that just sound like if those guys were in a movie about a summer camp, they would be on the bad guy's side.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, they also sound like Kent Lakeup sounds like the name of the guy trying to steal the corporation from Billy Madison.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. but yeah, I would say nepotism generally doesn't go well in any industry.
Yeah, I mean, it seems it's like way more common than you even realize in the NBA, though.
Yeah, well, and in life. But,
yeah, well, yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah. It's like, yeah, you can just kind of get a job because, not even because of your dad, but like your friend's dad from prep school.
Yeah.
Or like your connections from prep school who let you sell your podcast empire. I don't know. I'm not really talking about anyone specifically. There, but like, yeah, you but yeah, you look about trying to think who's the worst. Grunfeld, is he the worst nepotism?
No, it's James Dolan.
Oh, right, yeah. I mean, that is true. I just assume, I kind of consider him as just inheriting the business, but yeah, that is a nepotism hire.
Yeah.
Sons of owners are really bad news. It seems like Atlanta was forced to hire Quinn Snyder basically just because the owner's son was so crazy. Mm-hmm. Also, they're running the Hawks out of Los Angeles. That seems weird.
You mean out of Atlanta? You said running the Hawks out of Los Angeles? Oh, they're, sorry.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Is like,
sorry,
like
I was like, Sean, they're not located in Los Angeles.
But yeah, that's
are you thinking of the Oakland A's? Yeah. I mean, I would say you'd think because the Lakers have had such rocky relations with the siblings, and they've sued each other, and it was kind of terrible there for a little bit. But actually, the Lakers are sort of a case of nepotism being okay.
Well, I mean, it just, they picked the wrong kid initially.
Yeah.
That's really the problem. It's not that that was nepotism fighting sexism.
Yeah.
And actually, yeah, that was actually okay.
But even then, at least the kid who was bad was still like pretty good at hiring other nepotism hires that were like good at drafting people, right? Because he hired all of Jerry West's kids who like find Austin Reeves.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, Ernie Grunfeld is not a nepotism.
Yeah, no, I don't know why you said Ernie Grunfeld. we like the Cavs, the weird Cavs nepotism son, right?
JB Bickerstaff?
No, the owner.
Oh, the art collector?
Yeah, the guy who makes street art, who's like, all he cares about is the Cavs doing street art and sort of leaves basketball alone.
That's cool. But they also have a nepotism coach, JB Bickerstaff, America's official interim coach.
I think nepotism coach is generally okay.
Michael Malone, that's a
Michael Malone.
Coach.
I mean, Ryan Saunders, not great, but...
I mean, the thing is, he just got hired too early.
Yeah.
You probably shouldn't hire a 32-year-old, regardless of who...
For any job.
Is. Yeah.
And I say that as someone who just turned 40, so hire me. I'm finally old enough to hold a job.
George Karl seemed to not necessarily favor his son that much. He had him
on his team
Nuggets,
a lot.
But didn't he start on the Lakers?
I mean, who knows what was going on with Kobe Carl.
but Austin and Doc Rivers were not really a great combination.
Yeah.
I guess Austin was maybe at his best at that point. But
I would say if you're running the television show Ted Lasso, don't hire Steve Kerr's son.
Wait, does he work on Ted Lasso?
Yeah, he was a writer on Ted Lasso, dude.
He's a writer now? Great.
Well, he went from a writer's assistant to a writer.
Wasn't he like a basketball player?
I don't know, man.
I mean, look, great
all
job.
All I know is Ted Lasso has Steve, the same kind of brain poisoning Steve Kerr has.
I just can't
just
even.
Just in general.
I gotta say, I was on board with season one. Season two, didn't particularly enjoy. Maybe the Christmas episode airing in early July didn't help, but I just haven't even started season three. I'm sorry. I don't care. I'm so sick of those puns. And I like puns, Joey.
Yeah.
Also, it's anyway, we don't need to talk about that. So a show I have not watched the final season.
And a show I have never watched. All right.
It's funny, you have the same ambient exposure to Ted Lasso than you did to, like, Game of Thrones, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The internet and it
a person
being
I live
on,
with watches yeah, it, yeah. So it's on sometimes. I would say, in general, nepotism bad.
Give control of the Warriors to Sean Livingston.
Well, I also would say, though, I will say my one sort of hope with the Lake of Sun taking over, gaining some more power here, is at least he's probably a guy who can say no to his dad being insane. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's a good point.
Like, if you can't get fired if you're his son, so if he's, like, demanding you trade James, you draft James Wiseman, you could be the one guy who can say no is the son. So man, if he's competent, I don't know.
We'll talk about that a little more.
Yes.
A little later
yeah.
in the show.
But I have
a weird observation from that too. So.
We have a voicemail. Let me. Yeah. Let's go to that.
Sean and Joey can't come to the phone right now, but luckily phones are the domains of me, a robot. If you know the extension of Tillman Fertitta, please dial it now. Press 1 to have a single beer with Zach Lowe. Press 2 for Senegal-related inquiries. Press 3 for movie times read by Brooke Lopez. Press 33 to hear problematic things Bill Simmons wrote in the early 2000s. Press 0 at any time to leave a message for Sean and Joey. That's right, you too can leave a message for Sean and Joey, just dial 323-682-0342. Once again, that number is 323-682-0342, please give me a call, being a robot is a solitary road.
I should say before we get to this voicemail, actually, I do think in nepotism, son or daughter is generally better than nephew. When it comes to nepotism, because the nephew becomes a union buster. All right. we got a call from Nick in Central Georgia. Coastal Georgia. I read it wrong. Coastal Georgia. Let's see what Nick's got to say.
Hey, guys. This is Nick. I'm a diehard Blazers fan in Coastal Georgia. I just got to say, I'm real sick of the whole Damian Lillard, let's pity him. Like, yo, the guy has done kind of nothing to make himself possible of being the best guy on a championship team. Like, can he move off the ball? Not really. Can he really defend? Well, he's small. Can he even do? Can he even help defend? Get in passing lanes? You know, something he could probably learn. Nah, the best thing that Lamar Hurd is able to say about him is like, oh, you know, he's a pretty good post defender. Anyway, so I got 1 year left in nursing school. I'm just trying to, like, watch a fun team. So I just want to see, like, you know, at least 30 minutes a night of Trendon Watford throwing lobs to his bestie, Shaedon Sharpe. So, like, I'm not saying I want them to draft another 6'2 guard, but let's kind of stop pitying Damian Lillard because, like, bro, you okayed and maybe advocated that Hassan Whiteside trade and then thought that you had talked about a championship when your Let's see. Your starting forward was your third string backup center, Zach Collins. Anyway, I'm relitigating the 1920 season that was a comically bad roster. And just remembering that he somehow signed extension after that. That season, just going to try and reminisce here. At one point I watched a game where they were playing a fully healthy 1920 Bucks team, and their tallest player was Anthony Tolliver. So anyway, if Dame's going to keep signing extensions after that kind of roster, I just do not get the whole, like, pity. Like, all right, cool. Anyway, just want to watch some fun basketball. Bye.
That's one of my favorite calls ever. Thank you so much.
I still left.
Thank you so much, Nick from Coastal Georgia. Good luck in nursing school.
It's nursing school is really hard. Good luck, yeah. Nick. Thankless work in those hospitals.
And in general, I would say, yeah, you're right, dude. Sean, should the Blazers? The rumor is they're trying to trade Anfernee Simons and the third pick in this draft.
Yes.
For someone good. Should they maybe be rethinking that?
Here's what I'm going to say. Dame Lillard, not really at his peak anymore. I think that's not a controversial thing to say.
This last season was statistically his best season.
Well, I mean, he scores a lot of points, yes.
Yeah.
but we've seen, like, a younger prime Dame Lillard with a better roster around him already. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it tops out at, you know, the closest conference finals sweep of all time. I guess the Lakers maybe have taken that title. I don't know. I have not looked at that issue, but it is something that you hear a lot about the triumphant 2019 season. And there was a lot of back padding for the Blazers of rejuvenating Carmelo Anthony's career in the 2019-20 season, which, again, is like a guy who is surprisingly good at scoring when he's old and doesn't really do anything except, I guess, post defense he's okay at.
Well, the first thing I want to say about that is that's what they always say about guards who suck at defense. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, you know, James Harden is actually a good post defender.
Right.
And it's like, well, that would... How many post-ups have they guarded? Like, 8? Like, guards don't post up anymore.
Well, and I guess, like, on a switch, do you want... Yeah. Like, is James Harden going to stop Nikola Jokic if he gets one? He's a pretty stout defender. I mean, that like, makes sense when you talk about, like, Klay Thompson, but that's because Klay Thompson is, like, 6'7". It's actually, like, a reasonable thing that would happen. But, like, Lillard destroying? Yeah. Anyway, it seems crazy to me that you would try to. First of all, you need to get a guy who is better than Damian Lillard. Mm-hmm. That's the key. Like, the Blazers have obviously Dame has missed some time in the last 2 years, but these have not been good teams.
Mm-hmm.
Just in general, like they had Dame until they shut him down, and they were. I don't know, like the 12th best team in the West when they were fully healthy.
So in a year where the West was, people were saying it was bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so now it to me, it's like, what's the reasonable expectation? If you trade the number 3 pick in the draft and Anthony Simons, like what's the best guy who might come back in that deal? Mikal Bridges, maybe? Like, that's not going to turn your team into a contender.
If you added, say, Shaedon Sharpe, could you maybe trick Daryl Morey into giving you Joel Embiid?
No.
What about Jaylen Brown?
See, that now makes it intriguing because I could see the Celtics not wanting to necessarily go in on Jaylen Brown's max. Mm-hmm. And so I could see that being a reasonable thing.
What about Pascal Siakam?
Yeah, they could get Pascal Siakam. I think but, so.
I mean, is Pascal Siakam and Dame?
And Jeremy Grant. Is that like, how good is that team?
Pascal Siakam is much better than everyone gives him credit for. I will say that. He's really good.
He is. He's, you know, he's an all-star. He's a, what would he be? Third team All-Eastern Conference this last year?
Yeah. That's maybe
he's like
second.
a top 30 player in the league.
I mean, that maybe would be the best guy Dame has ever played with, for sure.
Well, I mean, CJ McCollum.
I'm saying Pascal Siakam is better than CJ McCollum.
But again, how good's that team?
I don't know.
I feel like if your goal is to like win a round, maybe that's a good idea. And I could see that happening. But I don't really see, like, this is Dame is not on the upswing right now.
Mm-hmm. And you are going to be paying him like $60 million.
Yeah. And I guess the plan is to get another guy that they would pay a lot of money for. Like, I don't care how much they're
now, Sean,
paying, but it does seem like, yeah, go ahead, sir.
Let's call up Daryl Morey again.
Uh-huh.
Would you trade Dame to the Sixers for like Tyrese Maxey, B-Ball Paul, the expiring contract of Tobias Harris, and
Houston picks or Brooklyn picks or something. I mean, that's depressing, but I probably would.
Yeah.
Because at least it's like, I just feel like you're throwing good money after bad at this point. And basically, Shaedon Sharpe still has a lot of potential and was bad last year, but of course he is going to be bad.
But
last
he's
year.
He cool. He's cool and
for like
good.
2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I just feel like once they drafted Shaedon Sharpe, that is like saying we have like, we're not impatient with this guy because like there was no bigger, he didn't play basketball for like a year and a half. You know
also,
what I mean? Like
it's, here's the other thing I would say is the third pick in the NBA draft is actually the second most valuable pick in the draft because the team with the second pick always fucks up and takes the wrong guy.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And Charlotte.
Unless that decision is taken out of their hands and someone drafts James Wiseman directly ahead of them.
No. Well, but that's what I'm saying is like.
Yeah. But they would have taken Wiseman if they'd had the second pick.
Yes, exactly. But what I'm saying is Charlotte, in this case, is going to take the gun guy who's doing bad interviews and bad workouts, and the guy who everyone has said would be the number one pick in this draft in any other year is going to be there at three.
Yeah, a guy who made very professional decisions about his career with 2 years in the G League so he could play against, like, adult men.
This is Marvin Williams, Chris Paul all over again. Like, where everyone knew Chris Paul was, like, the best player in the draft, but he's gonna go three because teams are stupid.
Yeah, just get Scoot Henderson.
I think you just have to draft Scoot Henderson. And you know what? That will be fun for our friend Nick. He will throw a billion lobs to Shaedon Sharpe and then also dunk on people when Dame is shut down 2 months into the season because they're 0-22.
Yeah. I mean, look, they've been disgraceful at the end of these seasons. Here's what I'll also say. You trade Dame now. Peak value, lots of teams want to go for it. You can get a lot of stuff back. And the subsequent bad year allows you to fire Chauncey Billups.
Also,
two birds, one stone. Just go, just pick Scoot.
I mean, if Scoot is there, that might get you something good, though, on draft night. You just have
just
to be.
Just keep Scoot.
Oh, I know. I'm saying.
Yeah.
But look, I understand also. Being in love with Damian Lillard because, like, if Steph Curry and Damian Lillard's careers were switched, right, and the Warriors had never won a championship,
yeah,
and Steph Curry had done everything Dame did, I would also not want to trade him. I would be like, I love him too much.
Yeah, yeah.
I love when he writes letters complaining about how he's not in the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. I love when they make
about
up
not winning All-Star yeah. MVP. Yeah.
I love when they make up awards to give him and then he doesn't win them.
Well, he did win the bubble MVP.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Another triumph of the 1920 season where he won bubble MVP and then sat out most of the first round series.
Yeah. But so I get it, but I think logically Scoot Henderson, if he's there, is a pretty good consolation prize for not having Dame Lillard on your team anymore. But also, I don't know, does somebody really want to pay Damian? Do other teams, are they really banging down the door to pay Damian Lillard $60 million?
Yeah, I mean, I think somebody is.
Like 30% of their cap before the cap goes crazy.
I think it's like 35. Yeah. But anyway, I would just say there's just a lot of really thirsty NBA teams right now. And mm-hmm. All I'm saying is in a different environment, I think it might make more sense. But right now there are so many teams going for it. Like even when you add somebody, you're in this Western Conference where arguably 14 of the 15 teams might be trying to make
a
playoffs.
Okay, here's the question.
Like, who's not trying to make the playoffs?
If you traded, look, I don't have the trade machine on me right now. So I'm doing this in my head. So the math is probably going to be off. But would you trade Dame to the Phoenix Suns for Chris Paul's weird expiring deal and DeAndre Ayton? And then you throw in Nurkic or whatever?
No.
Me either. No, I'm just saying, I don't know, like, what...
Well, you have to... Basically, if you trade Dame, what you want to get back is a guy who at least has the potential to be a star.
Right.
And that might just mean... That might be a young player, and that might be just, like, a lot of picks.
I just think it's really hard to trade Damian Lillard.
like emotionally? Or
no,
or
like... Like to like, I just don't know which of these teams that are trying actually have the guy would want Damian Lillard and also have the picks or the guys, because like two teams in the NBA basically have like 40% of the drafts in the next.
Yeah.
Right.
But wouldn't the Houston Rockets trade for him? Wouldn't the Orlando Magic trade for him? Like it seems like there's a lot of teams that are on the verge and want to compete.
I guess the Magic maybe would.
Yeah.
I don't think Houston would because they're getting really James Harden.
Well, I mean, if they're getting James Harden.
James Harden's their point guard.
But even like, I mean, there's just a lot of teams who want to compete and are done tanking. And I mean, they should trade him for Trae Young. That's the funniest deal possible, right?
Yes.
Him playing in Quinn Snyder's offense next to Scoot. Look, the Blazers have a lot of options, but their brain trust is currently whoever their GM is. I don't remember who it is anymore. Chauncey Billups and Dame Lillard, and their brain trust has not done great the last 2 years.
His name is Joe Cronin, Sean.
Joe Cronin. I should remember that because he's a Hall of Fame shortstop for the Washington Senators. Anyway, Nick, we're really sorry. It's probably not going to get better next year.
Joe Cronin, I should say, sounds like the name of like a bad guy in a Dennis Lehane Boston Mafia story. All right. It's like Detective Joe Cronin tortures people.
I can't tell if Joe Cronin was an evil manager or not. he was a player manager, Joey, for 13
all right,
years.
We got some news. Dennis, we haven't even talked about the finals. All right.
Okay, yeah. All right.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news for humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, Sean. Monty Williams got so much money. They literally gave him like the mid-level exception to coach the Detroit Pistons.
It's more. It's the 6 and 78. That's like Jason Caffey money, I think.
No, that's like the new mid-level exception, isn't it? Isn't the mid-level 12 now? The non-taxpayer mid-level. Anyway, Sean, good for Monty Williams. He's going to be coaching the Cade Cunningham, Jalen Duren, James Wiseman.
Yeah,
so much money.
78 options for years 7 and 8,
which is good, I would say, for the Pistons, and good for Monty Williams. But that is bad news for prisoners everywhere trying to call their families.
They are gonna get gouged by Securus, an absolutely evil company. There's no positives to that.
Just a reminder that one of the things Tom Gore owns is the people who charge. He charges money for people in jail to call their family.
Having worked at a nonprofit who does that, you have to give a large credit card deposit of much more than the amount simply to get an account to receive those. So not only are they charging people like $4 an hour, $4 a minute for calls, they're also holding people's money and collecting the interest on it.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
I do like this. I like this hire for the Pistons. The Pistons are cool. If Cade Cunningham stays healthy, they're going to be cool. They're going to be a hot pick to make the playoffs this year. I still think that's a year away. People always do that 1 year too early when there's a cool young team.
I even believed in them this year too.
So did I.
They're not going to tank. Yeah. They're going to go for it. But I mean, Cade Cunningham did have a broken leg.
Yeah.
That did change the math a little bit. So it's weird that Matt Ishbia fired him, and now he's basically working down the street from Matt Ishbia.
Yeah. Can't get away from Matt Ishbia.
We also learned that Tom Gores, price gouger and NBA party boy, lives in L.A. He flew Monty Williams to L.A. for the interview in his living room.
It's not surprising.
DeAndre Jordan style.
Rich people live in LA, at least part-time.
That's a good point. Here's my question, Joey. They've got a lot of young talent. Killian Hayes, still only 21 years old.
He was okay this year, actually.
Yeah, I mean, he's 21. Like, those guys get better. Jaden Ivey, Jalen Duren, both second team, all rookie. Here's my question. Do James Wiseman and Jalen Duren play NBA 2K for more or less than 45 hours a week?
Less, way less.
Oh, well, that's good, because that didn't work out that well for DeAndre Ayton, whose main job was being an NBA 2K player, and his secondary job was being an NBA
center. The starting center for the NBA Suns, for the Phoenix Suns. I don't think James Wiseman plays NBA 2K at all, would be my guess. He's weird and nerdy. He's like he's grinding the new Legend of Zelda right now.
Do you think he's playing it like with a foreign language on, so we can brush up on his Mandarin?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
He is a Zelda guy for sure.
Yeah. But also,
Wiseman is an interesting guy. It's unfortunate.
I'm rooting for James Wiseman and the Pistons. Good for you guys. They're going to pick one of those Thompson twins, probably.
Probably, yeah.
Or something.
I mean, it'll be...
Maybe that Grady Dick. Are they bringing in Grady Dick?
I don't think they're going to get Grady Dick. but yeah, it's like... also, he got such a long contract that now it'll let them not get too horny transactionally, I'll say. Because the coach's salary doesn't count on the salary cap, so go ahead and pay him. Also, the reason he got so much money is that Phoenix still owed him like $21 million at least. So they really had to give him significantly more than $7 million a year as a result, because he could have just gone home and collected that money.
You know what, Sean? Now I'm just thinking about Tobias Harris in Portland. I mentioned it.
I have a question for him.
He'd be so
later.
Good there. All right. Sean.
A tweener forward? Oh, James rock hard right now.
All right, Sean. The 76ers hired Nick Nurse.
Yeah. You know, fine.
Nick Nurse is a fraud, and this is a fraud basketball team. This is the perfect. This is a match made in heaven.
I mean, hiring Doc Rivers was also really weird, especially because Nick Nurse got fired for not really doing well in the playoffs with the team. And it's like, yeah,
he literally got fired and his GM said, I did not enjoy watching the team this year.
Yeah. And Nick Nurse seemed like he was done. I mean, I guess he was in Toronto a long time. He was an assistant there, but at the same time, his big claim to fame is winning the 2019 title.
Mm-hmm. Playing a box in one.
And that was a good team. But yes. It was a team that had already been making the second round in the conference finals and then added
Kawhi
one
Leonard.
Of the five best players in the NBA and then added Mark Gasol.
Mm-hmm. And then subtracted two of their five NBA players.
Yes. he was able to defeat he was
Alfonso,
able to defeat
a team that had was playing
Alfonso
McKinney,
Jonas Jerebko. Yeah. Kevon Looney also got hurt in that final.
Yes.
And
yeah.
DeMarcus Cousins was already so again, I'm not taking anything away from the Raptors.
Mm-hmm. No.
Who were great. They played great. They absolutely earned it.
Yeah.
I'm casting doubt on the idea that Nick Nurse's coaching was what did it. Because Kawhi Leonard was gone, they performed exactly the same in the playoffs as they did under Dwayne Casey.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. One guy
Dwayne Casey ruled. Dwayne Casey, cool, nice guy. Nick Nurse, nerdy loser. That is my take. All right.
Okay, Joey, which Sixers do you think are going to be the most and least into Nick Nurse's guitar heroes?
Okay, least Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
Do
you think he's ever going to wear Nick Nurse branded gear at a press conference?
No.
The saddest personal merch in the NBA? Yeah.
Nine
Inch Nails hat with his own name on it that he wore to press conferences?
Georges Niang is going to love the guitar.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Okay. Joey, will Nick Nurse finally unlock Tobias Harris's potential? Did he just need a genius coach like this?
No, they just need to play him at the four consistently.
Yeah, it's never going to happen because they have the oldest man in the world.
He is mini
PJ
Carmelo
Tucker.
Anthony. Like, I mean that in like both a dig and a non-dig. You know what I mean? Where he's like, he's like really good at scoring at the four.
But also, he got to play power forward for like half a year with the Clippers, and it was great. And then it's like, nah, you're kind of a three again. We have this weird team. By the way, Joey, how old is 12-year veteran Tobias Harris? Feels like he's been in the league forever.
Yeah, which makes me think he is younger. I would think he was 32, but I'm going to say 30.
He is 30. He does not turn 31 until this summer. How does that compare? How old is he relative to Wesley Johnson?
Wesley Johnson, who's been out of the league now for, 10 years?
Yeah, he was drafted. Harris was drafted 1 year after Johnson.
I'm going to guess he is 5 years younger than Wesley Johnson.
Almost exactly 5 years younger than Wesley Johnson.
It's only because I'm good at, I know how old Wesley Johnson is now because we played this game so much.
Okay, final question. Which round will the Sixers lose in?
One, baby.
Oh.
Because Joel Embiid is going to die. That is the thing no one is talking about with this. Nick Nurse played...
Oh my God!
All of his players. He plays like five guys, 48 minutes a game, and Joel Embiid is going to be one of them, and he is going to be out for the season in November.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. They're going to get run into the ground.
Like, this is a terrible, this is just the worst mix of, like, problems the Sixers have and the coach. Like,
they're going to hate him. Also, like, if any guy should have taken a year off, Nick Nurse.
Yeah, go tour with the Arkells.
Do something. Like, relax.
But
like, maybe
that's,
go
okay.
to therapy.
Sean, that is my question for you.
Uh-huh.
Is, so the Arkells are the famous Toronto band that no one knew about before Nick Nurse started playing with them, other than people who lived in the Toronto area. Who is the Philadelphia-based band that Nick Nurse is going to popularize?
Oh,
is it Dr. Dog? Is he going to be playing in Dr. Dog?
It would be really funny if he started hanging out with Todd Rundgren. Let me tell you that right now. I think he, I know what it is. It's G Love and Special Sauce.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Sitting in,
yeah,
with G Love and Special Sauce, baby.
Nope, that's correct.
I didn't even realize they were from Philly until just now. I do think he's a Bloodhound Gang fan, too.
Uh huh, sure.
I'm going to say he is not welcome with the war on drugs, however.
No, I also don't think Radiator Hospital would want anything to do with him.
They don't want him at all. Japanese Breakfast has actually barred him from their show.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, I am worried about Joel Embiid's safety. That was my first thought when this happened with Nick Nurse as his coach.
Yeah, I mean, he did that for like years in a row too, mm-hmm. with Fred VanVleet.
Yeah.
He's not even 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
Well, you have to play somebody else. It's an 82 game series season. Figure it out. If you're such a good coach, get Malachi Flynn to be able to run the offense for 10 minutes. Yeah, they had, like, at one point last year, I think they had like four of the top six guys in minutes per game.
Mm-hmm.
And none of them were all that young, you know?
All right. Sean, we've made fun of the Sixers' new hire foibles. Let's talk about GM Bob Myers. He left the Golden State Warriors, the first one to blow up the dynasty.
First one in, yeah, first one in, first one out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess Curry was the first one in. He was a good GM. But
yeah.
once they met, you know, what stood out to me in the press conference is, like, I think you correctly suggested that the Warriors could have just paid him a year ago, like after they won the finals.
Like, if they didn't, he never would have done this if they'd just given him all the money when they first started talking about his contract last summer.
And then they kind of joked in the press conference about how Joe Lacob called him 5 to 20 times a day.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But it was such a specific number that I'm like, well, he's at least calling him 5 times a day.
Yeah.
And thinking about that, I'm like, yeah, this is like a guy with a fairly rich life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he seems like almost an unlikely basketball executive.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, like that seemed like a lot. He had to deal with a lot of Lacobs every day, both in number and frequency. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's that unexpected. He was there 12 years, but, Joey, what do you think his next job is going to be?
I actually have a very specific prediction for this.
Okay.
I think his next job is going to be part owner and team president of the Golden State Warriors.
Wow, that's how they're going to get
him. I think this year is going to go so poorly that next summer Joe Lacob is going to give him part ownership to get him to come back.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that would be a good move.
It's like the Billy Bean style deal, except where they also pay him lots and lots of money.
I mean, he definitely deserves more money than he received, considering how much the franchise has. That's cool. I was gonna say Wondery. He'd end up in the Wondery stable of podcast creators. Joey,
By the way, if anyone from Wondery is listening and needs a sports comedy podcast, let us know.
I'm not even making fun of Wondery. It's just that our friend has a Wondery podcast, so I thought of the name.
Pineapple Street Media. That's another one. All right.
Okay. Now, we've talked about this before, so we can kind of not...
They're going to make Mike Dunleavy the GM.
Right. Joey, is there another former Warrior that would make you feel worse as a GM hire?
No.
Yeah.
I really don't think there is. In fact, and I asked Tim Kawakami this, I was like, has this ever happened before where a player so... I would say Mike Dunleavy Jr. is one of the 8 least popular former Warriors of all time. Not to pick a random number like I'm Bill Simmons.
Right. But the other thing is that he was there a long time.
Yeah.
So it's different than... You know, like Blazers fans have a blood feud with Raymond Felton and his personal fitness, but like that was a partial season.
Yes.
Mike Dunleavy was there for almost 5 years.
I mean, I literally, Mike Dunleavy got traded on my birthday, and I always say the best birthday present I ever got was them trading away Mike Dunleavy Jr.
Mm-hmm.
but. When I asked Tim Kawakami this, he gave, you know, like a answer like I was attacking him. That's what happens anytime you ask Tim Kawakami anything on Twitter. And he was like, it doesn't matter. No one knew who Bob Myers was before. And I was like, that's not what I was asking. But what I will say is a Cavs fan then chimed in and was like, yes, actually. as a Cavs player... Cavs fans hated Danny Ferry more than any other Cav, and then he was a really good GM for 4 years.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, actually, Mike Dunleavy basically is Danny Ferry, so it makes sense. Yeah. Like,
like, I actually
went
have...
to Duke.
Oh, yeah. Kind of obnoxious.
Bigger than you'd think, but and supposed to be a good shooter, but not really.
Yeah. Kind of hung around forever. And actually, when you think about it, Danny Ferry's more objectionable than Mike Dunleavy Jr. So it's possible that we're too hard on him, but also, like, I just flinch when I hear the name.
Yeah.
Joey, do you want to say the worst thing you witnessed?
I didn't witness it.
Oh, your
brother did.
Your brother witnessed it. That's right.
So my brother was waiting in line for a secret special screening of the movie Borat before it came out. And the line was like 2 blocks long. Everyone was waiting in line. And Mike Dunleavy Jr. and like 5 of his friends cut the line and walked up and said, "Do you know who I am?" to the movie ticket taker.
Okay,
and then while his like Duke buddies were like, "Yeah, fuck you," to everybody.
I get the sense that they dress like AJ Soprano's friends too. Like, ooh.
Yes.
Like Mike Dunleavy Jr. entourage in like 2005.
It was 2006, damn. But yeah, okay. It's like right before he gets, it's like 2 months before he gets traded.
Okay. Playoffs?
Yeah. Well, actually, do you want to talk a little bit more about the Warriors here? What is this going to mean for the Golden State Warriors, Sean?
I think it means they're less likely to make a dramatic move. The other thing that came out basically is it sounds like Bob Myers really did not want to trade James Wiseman.
Interesting. That I didn't hear.
He was just talking about how he basically at his press conference was kind of like, we drafted this project. He got hurt a couple of times. It took him a couple of years to be good. Like, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you know what? I do have a prediction though.
Okay. Okay.
I think Steve Kerr is out in the next 2 years.
I think he's out after next year.
Yeah. No,
unless
exactly.
Unless he gets a contract in the next like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's similar to this Monty Williams deal.
Mm-hmm.
I think Steve Kerr will another guy who could do some other things. Like, I kind of think he might feel like he needs to just stay with Curry more, but it's just weird that he hasn't gotten a new contract yet.
Yeah.
And when you don't renew someone's contract in the NBA, it's kind of like you're firing them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anyway, so I honestly, I'll go even further. If he does not get an extension before the draft, I would not be shocked if Steve Kerr possibly resigned. Like, I don't know. I mean, I think they'll just extend. I think they will give him a new deal, but
so yeah, Sean, this is my question for you. Is put yourself in Mike Dunleavy Jr.'s shoes. Who does he hire to coach the Golden State Warriors?
Mike Budenholzer.
Oh no. Oh no. I was going to say JJ Redick.
Oh, I mean, yeah, they do like having a podcaster.
But, and JJ Redick literally did interview for a few jobs.
Bucks job, I think.
Yeah, I think it was, I thought it was the Raptors job. But either way, it was one of those jobs, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Great. Hate my life. All right, let's go. Let's talk about the playoffs.
It's the NBA playoffs.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Basketball for humans.
We're going to be championship.
Data for robots.
Both teams play hard, my man.
Both teams played hard.
Wait, wrong one. Oh, no. Sorry. All right, Sean. It's over. Boston blew a 3-3 tie after coming down back down 3-0. I had predicted they wouldn't even force a game six, but they forced a game seven.
What did I pick? Heat in six, I think?
I think that's right.
I think I was very conservative on the Nuggets, who you said would blow out the Lakers.
Yeah, I did say that. Do you want to talk about, what do you want to talk about first, Sean? Do you want to talk about Joe Mazzulla being a weirdo, or do you want to talk about Wick Grosbeck, the owner of the Celtics, storming into the locker room when they were down 0-3 and screaming at everybody?
Wait, but I didn't even, when Grosbeck yelled, okay, so here are the big legendary moments from the Celtics almost coming back. Joining making history along with the 2003 Portland Trailblazers and I believe the 1951 New York Knicks, of those brave teams who came back from 3-0 and tied a series and then lost. So after they lose, Joey, talk about the owner first, I think.
Okay, so this was when they were down 0-3. This came out today in an Athletic article. Grosbeck asked everyone to clear the room. Okay. So they're down 0-3. Wick Grosbeck, the owner, they were in the visitors' locker room in Miami. Wick Grosbeck stormed into the locker room. Grant Williams asked everyone to clear the room so the players could have some space, and Wick Grosbeck said no and started screaming at everyone. His message to the effect that he has been building the franchise for over 20 years and the players need to play with some balls.
Wow.
Left the locker room stunned, several team sources who were in the room told The Athletic. Blake Griffin told The Athletic, Grosbeck was right, but we shouldn't need that.
He is right. They shouldn't need that. Also, probably shouldn't happen. But, okay, so then the next, you know, the other factor that let the Celtics come back and almost not lose.
Well, hold on. The next day, the team went to Top Golf and found their bond again.
Yeah. Al Horford, this was Al Horford's idea. Big Al told him to ditch the film session and go to Top Golf. Joey, can you guess which NBA analyst was really excited about this?
Bill Simmons.
No, Bill Simmons adjacent.
Ryan Russillo.
No, more just think about who would be extreme.
Kevin O'Connor.
That's correct. He tweeted, crazy. Top Golf saved the Celtics. I get it. Top Golf is really fun, lol. Now, they didn't watch The Town at that film session. That's another
that's good
thing to remember. And then in game six, they blew an enormous lead to Jimmy Butler specifically, who Big Al, inspired by Top Golf, fouled Jimmy Butler on a three-point shot. Everybody on freaked out about the refs, and I was still kind of unclear why the entire time. And then Derek White tipped in a shot at the buzzer with 0.1 seconds to go to stun Miami and send game seven back to Boston, where they have an incredible home court advantage at the TD Garden. Oh, wait, they don't. They have been eliminated at home. I want to say four of their last six postseasons. I think that's right. I mean, well, and actually one of them was in the bubble, so there wasn't a home. Anyway, that's they lost. But yeah, the Derek White shot is like one of the most amazing things that might almost immediately be forgotten.
Yes. Yeah.
Because the Carlton Fisk home run is similar, like a dramatic thing, but it had like a legendary call and he was waving the shot and there was just less going on in 1975.
And Robin Williams wasn't there.
He wasn't there. But yeah, there was just less going on in 1975. People like remembered baseball more. You have to just remember that like as late as like the 30s, the most famous athlete in America could be an animal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's, society is weird. Nikola Jokic is keeping that alive. He loves trotters as well. Okay, and then the other thing that happened was that Joe Mazzulla met some dying children.
Yeah.
Here's his quote, and Joey, there's so much that's weird.
Yes, everything is weird about this.
Here's his quote. I met three girls under the age of 21 who have terminal cancer, and I thought I was helping them, but they were helping me. Watching a girl that's dying, smiling, that's what it's really all about. Having that faith.
Insane. It's one of the most insane quotes in history. Because it sounds like he's dying. Killing them. Like,
watching a girl that's dying, that's what it's really... Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's like Kevin Durant.
He's like at their deathbed.
Watching a girl die with a smile on her face.
I mean, Joe Mazzulla is the first NBA head coach who's also Dr. Kevorkian in his
also just like real weird to be like, I met three girls under the age of 21. Like when a story about basketball starts like that, you're like, I hope he called a lawyer. He needs a lawyer present. Well, why are you stressing how young they
were? The last few episodes we've talked a lot about Joe Mazzulla being a psychopath. Did you hear the news that came out today?
He's coming back?
No, well, that, but also that almost all of his staff is expected to go to Houston for Ime Udoka with Ime Udoka.
I mean, I get it, but also, this is kind of on the Celtics, because here's what happened with his assistants this year. First, Ime Udoka got fired, and Joe Mazzulla was elevated to the head job.
Who was not even a lead assistant last year.
No, because their lead assistant...
skipped like five guys.
So their lead assistant went to coach from last year, went to coach the Utah Jazz. And Ime Udoka basically brought in his own guys, except for Joe Mazzulla and one other assistant who were Brad Stevens guys. So he had been there the longest. But then they didn't replace Joe Mazzulla's job. And then Damon Stoudemire, I think, is the head coach at Georgia Tech now. So he left the team when he got hired. They didn't replace him either. So it's kind of like, they really kind of just threw him into the deep end. And at that point, like, that's the point where you get like, just hire some old coach. You know what I mean? Who can just be like, hey, you might want to call a timeout here.
Yeah.
You know, whoever Ron Adams is, or like, I mean, there's plenty. I don't know. I mean, I don't know why I can't think of a coach like that. Alvin Gentry. Hire Alvin Gentry just to sit next to him. Like, Vinny Del Negro, you know, just like someone who's done
Joe
it before.
Prunty.
Joe Prunty. like someone who's unemployed and used to be a head coach. And
guys,
just like anybody who worked for Coach Pop. Like, anyway, he got kind of hung out to dry. And now he's got, now he gets his own team. So he's finally get to assemble his own crew, mm-hmm. like the movie The Town.
Yeah. Hopefully someone on that crew can tell Jaylen Brown not to have 9 million turnovers.
Yeah. There was a funny prank, though, that someone added Duncan Robinson's phone number to a group chat, because mm-hmm. he still has the same number he had as a high schooler in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. And people just taunted him in between game 6 and game 7. And then he had a big celebration that he planned to do, the Hulk Hogan I can't hear you mm-hmm. gesture. But he even admitted, like, he's like, it was like, it was kind of a stretch. It was his 10th point of the game. He gave him like a 20 point lead. But he's like, I just had to give it back to him.
Look, Duncan Robinson, we've said it before, we'll say it again. He is basically the lead character of a John Irving novel.
He is a quarter Hawaiian, however. I didn't know that until recently.
Let's talk about the finals. Yeah. The first thing I want to say, it's going to be Heat versus Nuggets. Mm-hmm. And if I have to see another Heat Nuggets joke, I am going to KMS.
So did
we
you
get
see
it?
The...
You cook nuggets in the oven when you're high.
A child? I don't know. I feel like, Joey, I feel like I'm too old to have constantly eaten chicken nuggets as a child.
Same.
I understand why people like them, but I feel like there is like a generational gap. Did you eat chicken nuggets a lot growing up? Yeah, it's like people, I don't know. It's definitely a millennial thing, not a latter Gen X or...
Well,
know,
and like, I'm an old millennial.
You're an old
and
millennial.
And I still
so.
Didn't have it, yeah.
So I think you've got to have been in middle school during 9/11 to really be in that era. I mean, they're good. I'm not knocking.
Sure,
them.
Sure. Sean, I have a hot take that I'm afraid to say on this podcast, but I've said it several times in text. Is I really think this Miami team is the worst finals team of my lifetime.
Yeah, I just don't. I think they're definitely better than like the 99 Knicks for sure. And probably like the 2007 Cavs.
The 2007 Cavs had LeBron James though in his prime.
I mean, they did, but yeah. they like, also got horribly swept in the fight. Like I get it, but
like it's just everyone on this Heat team is either undrafted or like was or 38 years old.
Makes them powerful. Well, it's actually very similar to that Raptors team, actually. Although, okay, so let's talk about this undrafted player thing. So the Raptors in 2019 had a lot of late first round or second round picks, like Marc Gasol's a second round pick, Norman Powell's a second round pick, Fred VanVleet's not drafted, even Kawhi went like 15, I think. Kyle Lowry's late first round, Pascal Siakam's late first round. You know, it's a lot of Kyle Lowry, just a lot of guys like that. So there's a little bit of a precedent for that, but what's weird is that Denver is secretly also like that. I mean, not that they have a couple more high picks, but it's like a lot of guys who people didn't believe in, you know, like Jokic famously, there's a Taco Bell commercial that runs when he's getting drafted. But also like Aaron Gordon was kind of a washout bust to a degree in Orlando, you know, KCP has been kicked around a bunch of different teams. Michael Porter was like gonna be the top pick and went 14th. Like, no one wanted Bruce Brown in free agency. It's just a lot of dudes like that. I don't really know about Vlatko Konchar's past, but I feel like he might have felt like he was disrespected at some point. I think Reggie Jackson got cut by two teams. I mean, he's not playing, but there's just a lot of dudes like that. So I kind of feel like that might neutralize a little bit of Miami's power in that sense.
The other thing I wanted to talk to you about is it me or is Eric Spoelstra like losing his mind, like in real time? Have you seen him talk lately?
Well, he was like, he said something like, they asked him about the altitude, and he's like, I'd play this series on the top of Mount Everest if I had to. Let me tell you that for someone who has gone not even particularly close to the top of Mount Everest, mm-hmm. everyone would just be throwing up all the time.
Except for Jokic. He'd somehow be fine.
He'd be like, you know, I've chased a horse up here before. It's funny because Mike Malone and Eric Spoelstra are both two of the more intense coaches mm-hmm. in the NBA. And I would say that Nikola Jokic seems like, not that he isn't a killer on the court, but he keeps giving interviews about, like, I don't really care if I'm the best player.
Yeah. Did you see that nap story today or yesterday?
I mean, there were just so many.
There was a nap story where everyone was talking, all these NBA players, I think it was in GQ, were talking about how, you know, they take naps and what their uh-huh. naps were. And Jokic, they asked him about naps, and he said, I don't take naps. I get enough sleep as is.
Yeah. Well, he also said, like, he said something like, yeah, basketball's not really one of the most important things to me. Where I'm like, that's crazy. But he's just kind of like, I like my family. Like, I love horse racing more than anything.
Also, to that nap story, Robin Lopez sets the thermostat for his nap to 80 degrees.
What?
Yeah.
Do you think Brooke also and then he says he that, gets
or? No. They've talked to Brooke and Robin in the story. And then he says it doesn't matter how hot what the temperature is when you're under the covers. That's what Robin said. So he sets it to 80 degrees and then also gets under the covers.
Under the covers?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Is he trying to like drop weight like a wrestler?
I don't know, man.
Robin, you don't have to weigh in before a game.
He also needs total darkness, total silence, but Brooke puts on episodes of Frasier, Seinfeld, or Friends when he naps.
I like that he's loyal to must-see TV. Well, he wouldn't put on a cartoon because that demands.
Well, no, The Simpsons attention. Was also on his list, I think. Oh. But yeah.
Maybe Disney animation would be the one.
Yeah. Anyway, back to.
Yeah. Joey, quick question.
Sure.
You have to pick one of these. Okay. To predict the series.
Sure.
Okay. Mountains or the beach?
The beach.
Marijuana versus cocaine.
I mean,
I know you're sober. Just
marijuana, I guess.
Okay. Things to do in Denver when you're dead or pain and gain.
Pain and gain.
Oh, well, looks like it's going to be the heat, Joey.
Okay. Sean, is this going to be a blowout?
You know,
kind of feels like it, doesn't it?
It's funny because I've been like very into heat culture. Mm-hmm. And I felt really good about I didn't believe in them against the Bucks, I guess. I did think they would beat the Celtics. I don't think they're going to beat the Nuggets.
No, I don't either.
The extent of my belief in heat culture is that I think they could conceivably force a sixth game.
Sure.
I think we're gonna be looking at something like the 2020 finals.
I think we're looking at a gentleman's sweep here.
Okay. I mean, I think that's fair. But yeah, this reminds me of the bubble one because they also have an injured guy mm-hmm. that they're going to bring back. And it's sort of like,
and it's Tyler Hero.
That's a good idea.
You know what that reminds me of?
Jameer Nelson.
Yes. One of the worst decisions in finals history.
Just a terrible idea.
Playing Jameer Nelson when he came back injured instead of Skip to Milu, Rafer Alston, who was having an amazing series, playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, just like if he's hurt. Draymond Green says they definitely should not put him in the rotation. And, you know, that is a subject where I trust Draymond Green.
Well, except if there's one thing we know about Draymond Green, it's it's that he hates guys who are exactly like Tyler Hero so much he punches them. Yeah, all right. By the way, remake that new White Man Can't Jump with Tyler Hero and Jordan Poole. All right.
I mean, they'd be better actors than the guys they chose. I got about 10 minutes in, and let me just say this. Mm-hmm. At least one person has to be an actor. One of them should be an actor. The other guy, the guy who plays the Wesley Snipes role, maybe he's acted in things, but like, you need to just get the best actual actor who can play acceptable basketball. Don't get the best possible basketball player who also acts. Mm-hmm. And you can't cast Jack Harlow because he acts like me. Like, there are points when you can see him desperately trying not to mouth the other person's lines. It's an incredibly bad performance, even going into it thinking it was going to be an awful performance. Mm-hmm. And it just, the setting doesn't make any, it doesn't make any sense. None of it makes any sense. Mm-hmm.
All right. Sean, who's the funniest possible finals MVP?
I'm going to say it's okay. So this is my scenario for this. The Nuggets, the Heat, really start doubling Jokic, and he gets lots of assists, but he doesn't really score that many points. He's like facilitating the offense. He's getting hockey assists. Meanwhile, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope shuts down Jimmy Butler and wins an Andre Iguodala Finals MVP.
You know what's funny about that is that is a funny idea. But I wouldn't be that surprised by that because KCP was really good in the finals once already.
He was really good in the playoffs all year.
I know. but I just mean for that Lakers team, he was like their third best player. I think the funniest possible finals MVP that's probable is the Heat winning in seven games and Gabe Vincent winning finals MVP.
Ooh, yeah, that'd be great. You know, I don't think he was drafted, Joey.
No, he was not. I mean, also, let's be honest, Michael Porter Jr. is the funniest MVP. Finals MVP.
He's like double or nothing. Yeah. Double or nothing on a game of 2K.
All right, we got one last game we want to play here, Sean, for the finals. But before we do that, I want to read you. We have some breaking news.
Oh.
Nick Nurse just gave his welcome press conference in Philadelphia, and he gave the quote, "I don't vibrate on the frequency of the past."
Ooh, well, is that gonna fly with G Love and Special Sauce, Joey?
I'm gonna say you know what else he doesn't vibrate on? Minutes limits. So, Sean, you want to take turns assembling a team together of list of players, people from Denver and list of people from Miami?
Yes.
One of our favorite things to do.
So, basically, Joey and I will take turns selecting people for a starting five for these teams. I think we should start. Basically, these are just people that are on Wikipedia's list of people from Miami or list of people from Denver. Okay. We have not really checked these. We are just going to trust that any of these are accurate.
Okay. With the first pick, people from Denver, I'm going to pick a person who's been on this show. He's the voice of Comedy Central. You can hear him saying Workaholics is next or whatever is on now. I'm going to take one of the funniest comedians in the world, David Borey.
Oh, great. What position is he playing?
He's playing center.
Okay. All right. Well, keeping on that Denver front, there are way more people than I thought here. This is almost overwhelming, Joey. Okay, so
that's why I took a person we knew before I got to reading.
Yeah. So I'm gonna pick as our shooting guard for the city of Denver Nuggets, Neil Cassidy, the poet, and Beat Generation guy, Jack Kerouac's hero, petty thief, and Allen Ginsberg's lover.
Great.
Yeah. Shooting guard. And also because he probably shot up, you know,
at,
right?
Yeah. At power forward, for people from Denver, I am taking Notorious Racist. Shitty reality star, great hair, Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Dog the Bounty Hunter. Power. I mean, that's his position.
Yeah.
All right. That's great. And I got to say, okay, so I'm going to go, we have a center, we have a shooting guard, we have a power forward.
Yeah.
At point guard, I'm going to go with a man. He's from Earth, Wind & Fire. He has a beautiful falsetto voice. You probably know him from the Phil Collins mega hit Easy Lover. Philip Bailey. Philip Bailey,
okay,
of Denver, Colorado is our point guard.
I'm going to take the bench now.
Okay. Okay.
And I am going to take, coming off the bench, our bench guards, our sixth and seventh man, the rap group tag team.
Whoop.
Tag, whoop, there it is.
No
tag
more whoop
team
that
back
trick.
Again.
All right. I'm going to say our small forward, we want someone who's really going to sink their teeth into this position. Someone who can brush perimeter defenders aside, really bridge this team. It's sports writer and tooth enthusiast Rick Riley. Rick
Great.
Riley,
I love it.
Small forward.
Did not know he was from Denver.
I didn't either.
So we need a two guard now, or
no,
a point
we have,
guard.
We
point
have
guard.
A we have a. So the lineup right now is Philip Bailey and Neil Cassidy in the backcourt.
Okay.
Rick Riley at small forward, David Borey at center, power forward is Dog the Bounty Hunter, and we have the rap group tag team on the bench. Do you want to pick we'll go for maybe an 8-man, 9-man
Okay,
rotation?
I'll take one more. I'm taking as our I'm going to take David Fincher off the bench.
Ooh, that's pretty good. And then I think rounding out the roster, the Lumineers,
yeah,
Wesley Schultz
yeah.
and Jeremiah Prates. That's a good squad right there. Okay.
Coaching the team. He may be blackballed from Hollywood, but he's not blackballed here. Another racist, bad politics. Tim Allen is
coaching
the
coach.
Team.
That is absolutely the coach.
all right.
Wow,
now,
there are a lot of choices for Miami.
I know.
Don't get overwhelmed.
Well, I already see right off the bat who I'm taking first.
Yeah, go for it.
Dave Barry, columnist and humorist from my favorite band, the Rock Bottom Remainders.
Oh, they're so good.
I don't know what position he's playing, but we're taking Dave Barry first.
Okay. I'm actually going to pick some garbage time bench players first, Joey.
Okay, great.
They are related. You know, they liked having twins. It's Brooke and Nick Hogan.
Well, they're going to be confused that a man who's just like their dad is playing power forward for the other team. I'm going to take at small forward. One of the great actors of our life, and one of the great college cheats, even though he let his wife take the fall, William H. Macy is playing small forward. Weird, he's from Miami, gotta say.
I would not have guessed that. I'll say that right now. I feel like we can't take Pitbull.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like he's a member of the show. So I feel like you can't really do it. All right. I'm going to take... I'm looking for a center here, Joey. I don't know why that's, like, really something I want. But I feel like we need to get the center, and we need someone who's pretty intimidating and has like thrown his weight around before. He's been trained by a very aggressive manager. I'm talking about Flo Rida.
Great. I am also going to take someone music based, but he's starting at power forward. He's a Nepo baby.
Oh.
His dad.
I think I know where this is going.
His dad very famously got really rich. The chain of restaurants where the chefs throw shrimp at you.
Uh-huh.
I'm taking DJ Steve Aoki at starting power forward.
Pretty tight. Just gonna throw a cake in Dog the Bounty Hunter's face.
My next choice, I think this guy's a sixth man, but actually he's more of like whatever position like Chris Gatling is, the Birdman, you know, just like a real energy wild card off the bench. This guy was not born in Miami. He was born in Michigan, but he lives in Miami now. Sixth man, Iggy Pop.
Oh, I was going to complain about him being on this list, actually.
I mean, it seems unfair, but it's Wikipedia. If you can't
Iggy
trust
Pop
that.
Cannot be... He's from Detroit. You cannot claim him fucking Wikipedia, but I'll allow it because he's on the list.
You know what? You know what? I'll substitute him.
Sure.
Al Capone. Yeah. Sixth man.
That's another one I was going to complain about, but fair enough. I think we need a backup point guard who's going to calm everybody down.
Okay.
And that's why I'm taking folk singer-songwriter Iron and Wine to play backup point guard.
And that's exactly what you think
also
of when you think
weird,
about Miami.
From Miami.
What position are we lacking now?
Honestly, I think we need a guard. We need guards. Wait,
who did you pick? What guard did you? Who was your first pick again?
My first.
I'm so blown away by all of this.
Who was my first pick? It was I took William H. Macy.
You took William H. Macy,
and then Dave Barry was my first pick.
Dave Barry, yeah. Which guard position is Dave Barry?
I think he's a two guard.
Okay,
he's a little too much of a hot dog to be playing point guard, I think.
So I'm gonna pick the point.
You know what
guard.
I mean? Dave Barry's calling his own number too much.
yeah. No, I understand it. So I'd like to. I think we need a veteran point guard who knows a lot about the NBA, has gotten has a real deep knowledge of the NBA and its players. Larsa Pippen from the Real Housewives of Miami.
All right,
Scottie Pippen's ex-wife and Michael Jordan. Well, we have a full lineup.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry, Thomas Harris. I was gonna take you, the creator of Hannibal Lecter.
I was gonna take Ben Vereen, but
that's a good choice.
It's not
too
really a place for him. I am happy that my friend comedian Dave Williamson has an extended Wikipedia entry. Congratulations, Dave.
Sorry to Sofia Vergara. Sorry to Wilmer Valderrama. Mm-hmm. Sorry
to Stu Gotts.
Yeah, sorry to Ava Mendez. All right. That's our episode. Sean, is there anything you would like to plug?
You can check out. I got a lot of writing on Yard Barker. I was on the Fast Break Breakfast podcast this week with
one of our favorite
Keith
people,
Parrish,
shows.
And the great Kelly Dwyer. And this is what I'm going to plug. Subscribe to The Second Arrangement, Kelly Dwyer's excellent basketball newsletter, and you can find that at tsa.substack.com.
And then as for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz. We're on 5/21/23. I tweeted, I have a feeling this week is going to change my life. Heading to Charlotte tomorrow for a crazy busy week. Can't wait to race at Charlotte Motor Speedway on Friday. Also, congrats to Frankie Muniz for coming in sixth in that race.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
He actually seems like he's pretty good at race car driving.
Yeah.
Driving
Sean, a race car. I'm also sorry. I'm staring at this list of people from Miami here, and I'm shocked we didn't take Victoria Jackson.
I almost
someone
took
who
her.
Always appears in the in the alumni the tournament.
Madness. Yeah. And you know who I think we could have taken as well, mm-hmm. because I do think the Miami team needs some aggression. Orenthal James Simpson. He's the coach. He's coaching.
He doesn't count either.
Well, I guess he's San Francisco. Okay, then
he's either San Francisco or Los Angeles or Las Vegas. I have no idea when he has lived in Miami.
He lives there now, baby.
I think Catherine Keener should coach. By the way,
yeah.
Or Lawrence Kasdan, one of the two.
I say Keener put Victoria Jackson on that staff. It'd be great if she's a team trainer, because what do you think her ideas of medicine are? They've got to be wild.
All right. That's our episode. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Let's all just not vibrate on the past or the present or the future.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's been a total eclipse of the rookie class. Yes, an eclipse. When a brilliant white mass blots out the sun with all its power. It's happening in South Florida, baby. Where have all the Corvus gone? Where is Thunder Dan? Where's the skinny backup guard to bomb from three-point land? Isn't there a white guy who can go and shoot the three? Don't need to see a block or dunk. I want skin like ivory. I need a Tyler. I'm standing for Tyler Hero. Only pass every night. He's not all that fast, and he's clearly not strong at 195. He's pretty light. I need a Tyler. I'm checking out Tyler Hero, cause his handle is tight. His crossover's slow, La Femme Adebayo, and you better believe that he's white. Oh, he's so white. Somewhere in Miami, Jimmy Butler's ISO-ing. Jimmy Buffett's landing from his seat. There's someone spotting up for three. Scrappy with a high IQ and sound fundamentally. Claimed he had drip before the draft, but he said it politely. I need a Tyler. I wanna see Tyler Hero be a coach on the floor. He hangs out with Myers, his shot is on fire, and he's got an excellent credit score. I need a Tyler. I'm rooting for Tyler Hero, he's a tough little fella. He's calmer than Hansbro, shoots better than Lightning, and not as depressing as Sandler. I need a Tyler. If Tyler Hero is wrong, then I don't wanna be right.
Ladies and gentlemen, the percussion stylings of Udonis Haslam and the Miami Sound Machine. That's right, he took over for Gloria Estefan. She heard her back. Down where Capone ripped the nets, where Mike Miller reigned from deep. If Olynyk goes, there's one white guy we have to keep. He's better than Tim Legler was, faster than Steve Kerr. Inspiring middle-aged dads like a short Larry Bird. Like a short Larry Bird, like a short Larry Bird, like a short Larry Bird, like a short Larry Bird. I need a Tyler.
I'm standing for town hero on the pass every night. He's not all that fast, and he's clearly not strong at 195. He's pretty light.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.